Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers there. I'm sure we'll acknowledge that here shortly, but I may forget. So I give that responsibility to Ashley in a little bit. And I hope that you're enjoying this nice sunny weather instead of wind and rain and all that cold. And it seems like we're hopefully going to a good second half of spring, or the last quarter of spring. But I want to share some things today out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. It's the preview before the Valley of the Dry Bones. If you are familiar with that, this is pretty much the setup of the Valley of Dry Bones. But I want to share that there's something that God allows to happen sometimes, and you hear me say it from time to time that. And you've read it in Scripture where it says that God disciplines those whom He loves. And sometimes God's family, sometimes God's children, that's us, we follow God and then we just kind of go away from Him. And when we go away from Him, and we usually don't do good things. Matter of fact, we never do good things when we drift away from God. And I also want you, if you do know the prodigal the parable of the prodigal son, just kind of put that in your brain a little bit. So today I want to talk to you about God's people as they drift away from God. And let me just kind of remind you that this is the time when God's people, we're going to use Israel here, Israel people, they're going to be taken into captivity, they're going to be spread out the nation. God, we're going to talk about them, not them being away so much, but we're going to talk about what God's way of restoring is. We're going to talk about when God comes to rescue. Now, I know that, and you know that you may have family members that, and you know that they are believers, but they are very far away from God. Sometimes we feel like they're never going to come back. Sometimes we feel like we want to challenge and begin to think that maybe they were never had a relationship with Christ. And so we get all nervous and we get stressed out. But if God knows them, they're His children. They're just not being obedient. And sometimes God allows them to be under discipline. And discipline is not always going to be just one day and done, an hour in the corner and done. We're going to talk about the process that this happens. And so this is about God's rescue, His rescue plan. Okay, for His people. And so there's a thing about called coming home. So let's go to chapter 36, verse 24. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and will bring you into your own land. It's like going home. It's time to come home. You ever tell your teenager or whatever, time come home? Now you know what that means. Probably been out too late, whatever, I need to come home. But coming home is not always a physical place. It's more of a spiritual place. So if I was to ask you and say it's time to come home spiritually, I hope you would know. If I was to say, oh, it's time to come home, you'd heard that. You heard the Lord speak to you and say it's time to come home. You need to know that He's talking about spiritually. There can be physical parts to it, but it really is about the heart. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. And we just sing this song about fear is a liar, but also our emotions could be liars. Our mind, there's a darkness that lies to us all the time that we're good. I'm good. I go to church once in a blue moon and I'm good. And I do what I want to do and I keep God at my distance. I keep Him at arm's distance and we're good. No, you're not. You're not good. We're not as good as we think we are. And God is going to bring His family back together. He's going to bring them home. God's going to take care of them. Part of that plan was captivity. Part of that plan was to be away. They needed to learn some things. They needed to figure it out. Verse 25 says, I will also sprinkle unclean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. This is a piece here that really you cannot clean yourself up. This is why I think addictional programs, recovery programs don't work without God. They just don't. And if you might get help from one thing and fix from one, you're not going to get the whole thing, because God's not about cleaning the one problem. He's about cleaning the whole thing, your whole self. Because you may beat an addiction. You may beat some things. But if your heart isn't right and your mind's not clear with the Lord and you're not right with God, you're still a mess. You know what will get you in trouble faster than anything? Attitude. Your attitude displays your heart out in the open. Your attitude toward others and toward what's going on. Your attitude. And here it is. God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. What we're going to read here today, what we're going to see here today, is God putting you, getting you to a place where He's ready. He wants, they don't realize it, but He's wanting to use them. He's going to use them, but He's got to do some other things first. Does that sound familiar? There's some things He's got to do and He wants to do. And you have to let God put His hands on you. What was going on with them? What was going on with them? He said He was going to cleanse them from all their impurities and all their idols. They had a problem with idols. We don't have that so much idols as much as they had. If there is an idol, it's self. Self-gratitude, self-me, it's all about me. It's the false trinity, me, myself, and I. He says, cleanse you from all your iniquity, all your impurities. What is He talking about? He's talking about, you left me. And you went after these other things. How many of y'all know the Bible is right? Really? Then why do we do what we do? Why do we struggle with what we struggle with? I'm probably going to get wiped off Facebook today. I don't care. I don't care. Living together, I'm just so calling it out. It's sin. It's not just a sin. It's iniquities. It's unrighteousness. It's ungodly living. Sex outside of marriage, sin. Homosexuality, all those things, they're sin. I didn't say it. God's Word says it. Doesn't mean we don't love people. I love people. We got to love the sinner. We all, because we all sin. We're talking about God's people here today. There's no room. That should not be. These things should not be. Greed should not be in there. Should not be in there. People, we don't want it. So what we do is we go out and we try to make a church that fits what I want. Where I can be accepted for how I want to live. And that stuff is being rammed down our throats. It's being rammed down the children's throats in schools. And it's being rammed down. It's rammed down. Listen, it's not the person. There's a force behind that person, the people that speak that way. It is demonic. And then when they speak, they'll say that we are the ones that we don't know what we're talking about, that we are bad. So there's this big fight here. But remember, this is all, we're all God's. So we get caught up in these bickering division things. And let me just remind you, as we see this, if you're living in unrighteousness, which would mean ungodly living, I'm just going to call it out, you're not living Christ-like, and you have sin, I'm going to just tell you will not receive the blessings that God wants to give you. You will receive the blessings that the rest of the world gets when the sun shines on the just and the unjust. But you will not get those blessings that you thought of what you previously had in your life as when you followed Christ. God will not bless a mess. And we create messes because we want what we want. We want what we want. You cannot curse God and then praise God out of the same heart. Your praising is not working because it may be lips moving, it may be lungs moving, but the heart is not right. And if the heart is not right, it's not right at all. And it don't need to be right with me. My heart don't need to be right. It needs to be right with God. Always giving it back to God to work on. Because if you give it to me, I'm going to make adjustments where it looks good for myself. And God says, I'm going to cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. All your junk. The stuff that drew you away. The stuff that drew Israel away from God. And with the idols, you know what came with the idols? A lot of sacrificing of things, a lot of sexual things. You know where they got that from? Egypt. Way back when they were that generation, way back when, it never left. You know how I know that? Because it's never left. We have it today. We have some of that same junk today that we want to do this, we want to do that, and then you know there's. Careful what I say. So there is, let me tell you, your town, this Huntington is not as clean as you think it is. Because I know some things. There's a group of men that love to have sex with women in this town. And I'm going to stop it at that. But it's all about the group sexual things. Witchcraft is very strong in this community. We act like it doesn't exist. Let me tell you, you can put, we talked about it, I preached about it, you can put a mask on, you can fool everyone, even communities can do that. There's still good people here, don't get me wrong, there's good people, good godly people. We're just in this, living in the same community together, so there's going to have some friction, but there is some things, that, so the impurities, what happens is, if you don't live the light that God's called you to live, you're going to fade into some of the shadows, and you're going to fade a little bit more, and then you're going to be into the darkness, and you're going to be away from God. And you're out there enough, God's going to allow you to go through some of the suffering and pains so you'll get to the person, like we were talking about earlier, like the young man in the pig pen where you finally wake up to your senses and say, wait a minute, I need to go home. I need to go home. And home, for him, was moving, but actually it was more in the pig pen when he said, I need to go home. Get up, take the first step and start going home. You know what he was going home with? Nothing. You know what he was left with? Everything. But now when he's going back home, he goes nothing, but he has nothing with him. He is broken, but he knows where hope is. And God is saying, I'm going to cleanse you from all your impurities and all of your idolatry, all your junk I'm going to. But he says this, I will give you a new heart. Because only God can do that. How many of your hearts have been broken? How many of your hearts have been tainted? How many of your hearts have got some hardness in it? But he says, I'll give you a new heart. Only God can give you a new heart. Then he says, I will put a new spirit within you. Now that's not a big S, being the Holy Spirit, but let me tell you, a new spirit, a new attitude. If you go back to when the Israelites were going to go into the promised land, they came back, but God said there, but Joshua and Caleb, they had a different spirit. They had a different attitude. But we see here that God can do this. He says he'll put it within you, and I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The hardness. Some of our hearts are hard because of what we may have done ourselves, how we've been messed with by other people, our hearts might be jaded towards certain things and certain people. But God says, I'm going to fix that for you. You know why? Because God's the only one that can do that kind of surgery. No doctors can do that. And let me tell you, we need so many, we have people doing some studies, it's all good. But we look for so much counseling and therapists and psychiatrists, and because they're trying to figure it out. I'm not saying their stuff is wrong. there's some good stuff that they can share. But I'm telling you, when it's a spiritual thing, it's only a God thing. It's only a God thing. And God is saying, I can do that. I will do that. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to pluck that old heart. I'm going to give you a new heart. Maybe you have a heart that you need some need to how to express what love is. But not be just a, maybe you need to how to express love and give out some love. Or maybe you need to be one to take love in and let someone love you again. Let people love you again. They put a new spirit within you to help you with an attitude to understand that there are wrongs. There are wrongs and there are rights. The lifestyle I was living is not right. It separates me from God. I need to get away from that lifestyle. Let me tell you this. This is a warning. You cannot stand in front of God and get into a debate or a deal because you thought your sin was good, but everybody else's was not. That you could live this lifestyle and get away with it. But Lord, you know it's me. You know how I am. But I am this way. No. Because it says, God will give you a new heart. We really are struggling today in our nation today. Because we have so many people jamming stuff down our throats and in our ears. This is the way you need to live. This is what your kids need. And it just keeps pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. As we always say, be careful who you listen to. And be careful who you let speak into your life. There's a lot of junk out there. Ask questions to your kids. What are you hearing? Ask questions. Ask your spouses, what are they hearing out there? Share that. Share those conversations. You may not always agree, but I want to remind you, there's always the Word of God. It will not contradict itself. You may try to contradict it, but it will not contradict itself. And to stand before God Almighty and say that your sin was okay, you have lied. You have fallen for the great lie. For all sin is abolishment, separation from God. That's why we need Jesus Christ, amen, to forgive us of our sins. We can stand before God. That's how God reconciled us sinners, through His Son Jesus. He says, I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Man, today, wouldn't that just be awesome right there? That we could get a new heart and a new spirit, which means like a new attitude. Man, some of us need attitude adjustment. Then he says, I will remove your heart of stone. How many of y'all know someone that you feel has a heart of stone? Make sure you look in the mirror first before you make that judgment. Because you may be great in 100 things, but there may be 5 things that your heart is very hard on. You may like all these things, but you go, but when it comes to people who drink, I just don't like them. And you just get very hard on them. When it comes to maybe homosexuality, you just get hard. You picking sins out. No. We're loving people. We're supposed to be loving different than the world. We don't love because we don't love people because we're getting something from them or because they side with us. We love because we understand that. We love because we have now the new heart and a new spirit from God. We can do that. And we can love people that don't look like us. But he also says in verse 27, or he says also, I'm going to say that he gives you a heart of flesh, a heart that can feel again. I'm telling you today, if you just keep watching the news, your heart will get hard. That's what they're doing. That's what it's about right now. Get you jaded, get you hard, get you hateful, get you bitter, get you all upset. That's why I only go through the highlights now. I just can't deal with it. I want to get to something that's good. I want to get to life. Because you get all up in that. You know how many people now are so, they're so isolated. They become hobbits. They're living in their own little place. And they don't even want to get out of their home because they're scared to death of what's going on in the world. We're not to be living in fear. You're a child of God walking on this world. There's a power inside of you, which is what happens next. He says, I will place my spirit. Now we get to a big S. It is the Spirit of God. He says, I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. This is what he's saying. You know, we cannot follow the Lord without the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. Just can't do it. But with God giving us the Holy Spirit, how do we get that? We get it by coming through to Jesus Christ, accepting the great gift of salvation, knowing that we were separated from God because of our sins, our iniquities, our unrighteousness. And God sent his Son, and he died so that he would be the ultimate sacrifice to cover all sins by mankind. And he offers salvation to all. Not a level of sinners. Thank God for that. Not that you've done so much that you can't be saved. But salvation comes for those who call upon the name of the Lord. And when you receive that, I believe you do get a new heart. And it changes your attitude. It gives you a new spirit inside. But it also gives you his spirit. He gives you his spirit. I will place my spirit within you. That is a gift, folks. That is a gift. Now no longer are you guided by just your emotions or your mind or your name or whoever and whatever you are. But now you are guided by something much more powerful than all of them together. You are guided by God's Spirit himself. God's Spirit will never lead you into ungodliness. He'll never lead you into sin. He will never tempt you into sin. He will never leave you. He'll never lead you the wrong way, and Scripture says he'll never leave you. Holy Spirit is what guides us in this world with his word. And that's how you understand the word of God, by the Holy Spirit explaining it and sharing it with you. And sometimes you get to Scriptures and you go, I don't quite understand that. Sometimes I think the Lord does is says, you don't understand it because I really want you to spend a little more time with me. Because there's more that I want to show you. You may be looking for something and you're going to get that answer, but I want to show you more from my word. Remember what we said last week. When you're praying, you're talking to God. And when you're reading, he's talking to you. And so we see that he's going to give us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit. He says, I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow. Now follow my statutes. And what were they doing before? They were doing out there, they were living in their impurities and doing what they wanted to do, and it led them down the wrong road. And I promise you this, if you do the same thing, you will follow the wrong path. Your path never leads to the goodness of God unless you're following the Holy Spirit's path. Let me ask you this, why do we cling to our junk so much? One, because we like it. But sometimes we cling to what we hate. Kind of codependent on it to a point, maybe. Maybe that's all we know, and then we identify with that, and that's who we are. And we hear the lies, and we feel like that's just who I am, and I'm not going to change. And basically what you're saying is God can't help me. You're not going to say that. Because you don't want to say that, but you're going to say, God can't help me, God can't change me. Oh, let me tell you, God can do more than you could ever imagine. Because when someone does come to Christ and they really want Christ to be a part of their life, and not just be a part of it, but they sacrifice, they actually pick up their cross, they actually sacrifice their life back. Let me tell you, God does amazing things for that individual. And if all they did was do what God's called them to do. They didn't have to have big positions or anything like that. And they just lived in this world. You know what they were? They were very, very strong light in a very dark world. And everywhere they went, they beamed for Jesus. And if that's what God wants out of that person, praise be to God. And God will say, well done. That's what I called you for. That's what I made you for. Man, it's not about positions. It's about following what God, the Holy Spirit, is leading you to. And he says he will lead you to follow statutes, God's word. For these people, it was the first five books, the Torah. That's what they had. For us, it is all of this. So there's the mess that we have that we're in. And God's drawing us out of the mess, but this is what he does. Because what happens is this goes into the valley of dry bones, meaning you may be alive, but you're dead, you're bad, you're just dry bones. And basically without God, you're just dry bones. You're just done. That's a great piece in there. But this is the pre-setup for it. This is the story. This is the part where it's telling you, this is what's going to happen. And we get impatient. How many of you have the gift of patience? I am saying it, I'm helping you try to raise your hand, and I don't see the gift of patience. I saw one or two hands. That is it. Because we are in a culture today that says, I want it right now, today. I want it yesterday. And God says, no, listen to my spirit. Could you think about all the ministries that we have? If God gave it to us the first day, the next week after we shared the vision, oh my gosh, we wouldn't have been able to do it. And you know we wouldn't have been able to do it. God, since God's Holy Spirit timing. Sometimes the timing to come out of that disciplinary time takes time. But God has a plan. And so what we see here, it says then, see, this is the part we want. Then you will live in the land and that I gave your fathers, that would be who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? That's that promise. Then you will live in the land that I gave your fathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. The way it's supposed to be. Same way it was supposed to, the way it started in the Garden of Eden. God is always trying to rescue people. He's always trying to restore the relationship for those who drifted that they once had, but not to bring it back to where it was, but to bring it even more fruitful. But when we disobey God, he goes into these parts that we don't like. You see, what we like, what we want is, if I read it like this, for I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and will bring you into your land. Then you will live in the land and I gave your forefathers, and you will be my people and I will be your God. If we stopped right there, we'd be like, yes, God's going to take care of it and we're good. But no, that's not what it did. He said, I will also sprinkle clean water on you. Who don't know like that? And you will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinance. This is the sandwich. The first verse and the last verse was the bread, but the meat is what we just read. That's the work that God's going to do on you, on the people of Israel. We need a new heart. Those people who don't agree with us, we need to have a better attitude toward them. We need to learn to love those who don't look like us. But sometimes we have to get to a place. Sometimes we have to get to a place where we maybe lose whatever it is in our life, and we get to a place where we're at a crossroads. We get to that place where we just got to look up again and say, God, help me. I'm in a mess. You see, the scripture says, if I confess my sins. Got to talk about it. Got to talk about it with him, to him about it. If I confess. We want the part. We want the, this is what I'm telling you. We want the part, the ending part. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. But what's the first part? If we confess our sins. How would we be using that today? The same thing. Lord, I confess today I need a new heart. My heart is broken. Someone broke my heart and I cannot mend it myself. Lord, I need a new spirit in me. I have such a bad attitude today in my life with my family. I don't like my life. I don't like it. I need a new spirit in me, and I can't do it on my own because what I try doesn't work. And I'm going to remind you, what you try will not work. There's a million people doing it every day. It doesn't work. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this starting tomorrow. I'm going to do this. It's not going to work if you don't put God in it. And you can't ask God to jump on your bandwagon. You confess it to Him and jump on His bandwagon. And He will begin to lead. Because when you lead, it's always a mess. I don't lead well without the Holy Spirit. Think about it. When you are away from God and you've had your moments of your prodigal time and God put some discipline in your life, think about it. You didn't make very good decisions then, did you? You thought you were smart. You thought you could con your way through. You kind of fooled yourself. And then there became that moment of like you hit a wall. But I'm going to remind you of this. All along, you never forgot that still small voice in your heart that was telling you, what are you doing? Why are you here? You're not supposed to be with that person. You're not supposed to be doing that. It just keeps nudging you. You don't even have to be words. It's just you know it. You feel it. It's like the Holy Spirit does a shift inside your soul, and you feel it, and you go, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. He's not going to tell you it's the Holy Spirit because you know who He is, right? You know. So what does this mean for us today? It means this. If we're into discipline, if we're under discipline, I'm going to remind you that God has not stopped loving you. The lie of the devil will tell you that He has, but God never stops loving His children. If you are out there in the area that you shouldn't be in, I want to remind you that you're living a lifestyle that is ungodly. Let me tell you, I'm not going to accept it. Christians are not going to accept it. But we will continue to love on you. You know why we're not going to accept it? Because many of us have already lived that. And God didn't accept it when we did it. What makes you think He's going to accept it when you do it? Are you that special? No. But you are a child of God. And if you're living in the ways against the way that God wants, He wants to do some things. He wants to change that heart of yours. He wants to give you that new spirit. He wants to work inside of you. There's too many Christians living an unchristian life. And we want to know what's wrong with the church today. In fact, they're trying to make it to where they're probably putting unchristian people into the pulpit to preach a holy word. Because we're going to bring certain sins that we're just not going to talk about. There's certain sins we're just going to accept. No. God's word preaches. And it is loud, but it's also soft. But I will tell you this, above all things, it is truth. And what the Scripture says, and the truth shall set you free. These people are in bondage and they need to be set free. And the truth is, it wasn't just getting out. They needed some things to happen. They need to cleanse them from all their junk. Who can do that? Only Jesus. They needed a new heart. Who can do that? Only Jesus. They need that new adjustment, that spirit. They need to get themselves, their whole selves right. Who can do that? Jesus. And for your lost people, you don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. You don't understand it. It's words that I'm saying today. Unless the Holy Spirit is nudging you today for salvation, you don't get that until you come to Jesus Christ. That's only through Christ do you receive the Holy Spirit. You can't have the Holy Spirit without Jesus Christ. You have to have Christ to get the Holy Spirit. And you can't get to God without Jesus. You see, this is you can't get one without the other. And you can't get sin and embellish in it and get what our Father has for us. It doesn't work that way. It says, then you will live in the land then that I gave your fathers, and you will be my people and I will be your God. That's the thing. We have to let God be God in our lives. We cannot be God in our life. God must be God. You notice today when you're hearing things on the radio or the TV or even social media, there's never really no wrongs. Carla was sharing me the other day that now they're not wanting to say addiction. Now it's going to use the word habit. Now we're using the word habit because we don't want that, because addiction is a bad word. It makes people feel bad. Well, yeah. Do you know adultery is still wrong? A husband of a wife goes out and sleeps with another woman. Do you know that's adultery? You know that's a sin against God? That's breaking marriage vows. Oh, I just want to let you know that, because we get taught so much that that's what a big deal, right? Now it's all about, this is my body, I can do what I want. Let me tell you, it's not your body. God created man, and he created woman. And he designed it the way he wanted to do it. But society is saying, doing everything. Now you're being penalized for doing it the right way. But what I love about this is God has a rescue plan. And I don't know about you, but I've been on that rescue plan a few times. And I'm so thankful that God has rescued me in my time of need. But I also got some family and friends out there that need some rescuing. And maybe you need to be rescued today. And only the Holy Spirit will move this inside and said, yeah, he's talking about you today. So we're going to open up a prayer here tonight, today, whatever. You preach messages sometimes, you get visuals. God just reminds you, remember that. Yeah, you rescued me from that. Remember that junk you were in?
Yes.
That's why God doesn't let us forget here. So that we, not that we always remember the junk, but that we remember how awesome that he was to us. I remember him rescuing me. Man, I am so indebted to the Lord. But it's okay, I love it. I have so much loved who Jesus is. Let's go ahead and stand, and I want to pray for you. And Father, as we come to our time of response, it's not a show for anyone. It's not a show for myself.